if your AI prompts keep giving you bland and useless answers, chances are it's not AI's problem, it's the way you're prompting it. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about why your AI prompts suck and what you can do to fix it. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about why your AI prompts suck and how to fix them. Should be a good conversation for us. I, and I believe you too, Ian, have at times been at that place where our AI prompts were middling and didn't get us the best results.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a lot of deep diving into this here, and I just wanted to share some of the things that I've picked up over the last few, last year or so, that have really helped me get better results when I put prompts into AI. Specifically today, we're going to be talking about mostly things like ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini. I do some of these things in other services like Lovable or Claude Code and other stuff like that too. But this will be mostly for the use case of chat, AI chatbots basically. So or AI chat windows. So things like ChatGPT and Claude and that kind of stuff. So should be a good conversation. I don't know. Anything to add before we kick off the list?
Yeah, one thing I'll say, absolutely. Well, we'll get into the list, but I was going to say, you know, one thing you've done well is led the charge here at Reach Right, Thomas, to get our whole team really, you know, to become experts in AI. And we want to be on the forefront of this for churches, for ministries, nonprofits, you know, and, you know, just anyone in general that's maybe just using it personally. And I know I've learned a lot. Specifically with my prompts, I know that at first I was just kind of treating it like Google, you know, like a Google search and something you've helped with. So no, this should be good. Should be helpful, I think, for a lot of people. So we can dig in. We have seven reasons why your AI prompts suck. And the first would be you're not giving AI a specific role.
Yeah. So this is something that is so important when you're doing any kind of a prompt. Is the first thing I write in every prompt is I'll try to give it a specific persona that I want it to embrace. So so we work mostly with churches here, for instance, at Reach Right, and so we help a lot of them. Like giving your AI a persona that they can, like, it can answer from that perspective is really valuable. It could be a personal persona. So if you're looking at looking for pastoral wisdom, you know, kind of in the style of Rick Warren, you could do that. Or you could, if it's a theological one, you could ask for thoughts in the style of Tim Keller or John Piper. So you could do those kinds of things. But I think just even more generally, so let's say you're using it for sending out your weekly email newsletter. Giving it a persona before you start, instead of just saying, like, you know, write my weekly email newsletter on these topics, saying something to the effect of, you are a world-class email marketer specializing in copywriting that boosts engagement and gets better results when people send emails. So using that kind of language of a persona, it gives context to the AI agent or the AI system, and it helps you actually kind of navigate some of those things and gets you a better response in that. So something I use in nearly every prompt is making sure that I'm giving it a really a good persona, the first prompt, at least, every time I start a new chat on things. So yeah, super helpful.
And it could be, you know, that makes me think, even if it's not for something church related, I had a funny thought come to mind. If you're a comedian out there and you're looking to come up with a certain comedy skit for your upcoming show, and you're a big, huge fan of Bill Murray, you could give get some ideas from AI or kind of have your comedy skit in the style of Bill Murray. Is that something I that just came to mind? I'm not a comedian.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about. I think that this is, I think AI's biggest weakness right now is comedy. I don't think it's good at figuring out what's funny just yet.
Sure.
That's like, it's better at other use cases. So let me give you a use case.
Wouldn't it know the persona based on movies of the AI?
So. It would, yeah. I think it would get you close, yeah. But I think you would read it, it would feel like a bad Bill Murray movie.
Yeah. So you might be able to glean some from it, but not that anyone should just copy him. But
it wouldn't be like, what about Bob or Kingpin level. It would be maybe like the 10th day of Groundhog Day level, you know, kind of when jokes get a little...
You know Bill Murray. Yeah. So it's funny.
There you go. Let me give you one case, like at a use case, like as I think about this. So yesterday I walk out to my office and there's all of these flying like bugs stuck on my wall there. And I'm like, what are these things? So I pick up ChatGPT. I take a picture of the bugs.
Yeah.
And I say... Like I wrote a prompt to go with it and I gave it a persona. Like, you are the greatest pest control expert in the world. And now help me identify what this is and give me a prescription on how I can take care of this problem and what I should do next. So that's even funny. In that kind of a non, for me, it's not my profession. It's someone's profession out there, but giving it a persona will get me a better result. And it gives ChatGPT context of like, why am I asking this question, right? I could just take a picture and say, what is this? And it'll tell you, well, in my case, it was a termite, which is kind of scary, right? So we had these termites, they're kind of out, I hear they're all over town right now. We had a big rain and all these termites kind of came out and they were right under my light at my driveway here. Great. So yeah, long story short, I think giving it a persona will get you better results.
It's funny. We have a regular pest control guy. I'm going to make sure he uses ChatGPT next time he comes out. So,
yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, so next one is, you're not having it, meaning AI, write their its own prompt. This was actually kind of funny to me. I was like, well, they know themselves better, right, than you do.
Yeah. Okay, so this one I use all the time whenever I'm doing some kind of a bigger task. I will almost always, like if I'm going to do, let's say I'm doing some YouTube analytics. We do that kind of watching our YouTube channel. Maybe I'm trying to find some new ideas for long form videos that we do here at ReachRight. Yeah. I will usually start by having ChatGPT, or that's the one I would probably use that as of right now. ChatGPT 5 is the best tool, I think. But I have used Claude for the same thing before, too. I would start by having it write its own prompt for me. So I would say something to the effect of, you are a prompt engineering specialist writing the most useful prompts in all of the world. So again, giving it a persona. I want to be able to give you some of my recent data from our YouTube channel. I want you to be able to mine it for relevant titles and structures that work or new topic ideas that might get us better results. And then I want you to give me I want to wind up with a list of 10 different video ideas for my next video. Write a prompt for me that will get me the best results for this. So I'll run that through and it'll give me a very long form prompt. Another kind of hack, it's a little bit more technical. You ask for it in JSON format, and that's a little bit easier for it to read in AI chatbots there. So you'll want to be able to do that. And then you'll get this long form one that has personas in there, the desired way you want the results. It might even come up with, it can do just about anything you want it to do. But I have just gotten better results when I don't just try to think of everything I want to say in a prompt, but have it go through the prompt and write it for me. So makes a big difference. I don't use it for everything. So if I just want to know, you know, I don't know, how tall is, what's the guy's name? The tennis player Sinner. Is that his name?
Yannick Sinner.
Sinner. Yeah. How tall is Yannick Sinner? I don't have write a prompt for me to figure out how tall Yannick Sinner is. That's not what you do.
Use Google for that.
I would still probably, I think I've found that AI is faster. I mean, Google would give you the response in AI now anyway. But you could do those things. I wouldn't do a prompt. I wouldn't have it write its own prompt for simple stuff. Mm. But if I'm looking for detailed response, or even like if I'm looking for copywriting or drafts of newsletters or those kinds of things, I really love having it create its own prompt first, and then using that prompt to actually get my results.
And quick question on this, you may have covered it, but for the person that might be thinking, because it's what I thought, that's kind of newer at AI, how do you initiate that prompt with like ChatGPT? Do you just say, hey, what is a prompt for this? And you just ask it?
Yeah. So I would just say, I'm looking for help writing a prompt, and then I would give it a persona. Like, so I'd say, you are the best prompt engineer in the world, and then help me write a prompt to do this task. And then it will probably, you could just say that, it'll give you a really long detailed prompt just by doing something like that. One other little hack that I don't think we cover anywhere else in this is that now, if you write this little phrase, I do this quite a bit, I'll write think deeply in some of my prompts, and then it'll bring up a little window that says taking more time to do some research on this, and then it'll give you even better results, I find, a lot of cases. So when I'm doing my prompt engineering like this first prompt to get a better prompt, I'll usually have it think deeply as part of that too.
Interesting. Yep. That's good. It's good stuff. That's deep. Anyway, next one, you're not being specific enough with your prompts.
Yeah. So this is something that I found to be really helpful. I think really specific, being specific with the outputs that you're looking for. Okay. So if you want something like specific, which you probably do in most cases, you have something in mind, do your best to spell that out for AI. Have it think about that. So if you're looking for, let's say, a draft of an email newsletter, that's kind of a common use case. I don't think, and we don't do this here at ReachRight, where we have AI help us with a first draft based on, you know, some of the topics we want to cover. We give it some ideas, we feed that in, and then it'll come up with kind of an initial draft. And we usually wind up changing like 75% of it, but it kind of gets us into the right phrasing on things. So we do that, but I give it really specific instructions. So I'll say, please include 3 subject line ideas that we could use. Use this kind of a format, like where we introduce a problem and give a solution. So you'll give it in that format. Include a PS at the end that calls someone to action, and just giving it that kind of specifics. I think that gets you better results than if you just said something to the effect of write a newsletter for me about this topic. Like, it just, it doesn't do as well. Even if you assign the persona, it would be, the results wouldn't be as good. So give it specific output requirements, and don't be afraid. Like, it can do a lot of things that people don't realize right now. So if you wanted it to make a spreadsheet for you that has 2 columns, like we did that, that title ideas for future YouTube videos, that use case, you can ask it for make an Excel spreadsheet that has a title recommendation, a rating on that title, and the projected number of views and watch time based on my past results for that title. Like, you could have it do all of that and put it in a spreadsheet that's ready to go for you. So be specific with it, and it'll tell you if it can't do it, but there's lots of things now that it can do. So yeah, I think this is especially important when it comes to image generation. We're getting to a point where image generation is almost indistinguishable from reality if you are specific enough. But good image prompts are very long and very specific, because you got to think about every image, a picture of a person, there's so many different ways to describe everything the person is doing, from how their hair is and their colors and their, like, the way that their hand gestures are facing and the way that their face looks and the kind of film that's being used. So really important if you're doing image generation that you're ultra specific and not just, you know, saying, give me a picture of a pastor preaching or something like that. That doesn't get you, that doesn't get you anywhere near where you want to be.
It's funny. Makes me think that, we're giving fuel to the guys that are making fake posts, you know, and they're having an image of someone famous that didn't really do something they're saying that they do and everything. And it sometimes can fool you. Yep. It's crazy. It seems to be getting more accurate. You're right. When it comes to that. So, but, yeah, it's crazy. So next one, you're not asking for too much at once. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Other way. You're asking for too much at once. So that's the, that's making it suck, is you're asking for too much at once. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a big one for content creators. So yesterday I spent a lot of time working on a new landing page for our website, and we needed about 4,500 words of content for this. You think I'm long-winded on these podcasts? You should see on my landing pages, Ian. It's incredible. So 4,500 words of content.
I look at them daily. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So here I am trying to come up with these ideas, and what wouldn't work is saying, I want to make a sales landing page on this. I need 4,500 words. Please write it.
Yeah.
So, and even if you, you know, all the best personas, you have ChatGPT write the prompt for you, still wouldn't work. You just run into limits and it'll start to like, it's kind of weird how it does this. It'll kind of like say it's going to do it and then it just won't actually get it done. It won't get the actual job done on things and write you a deep, detailed bunch of content. Again, I'm not saying that when we do this, that we're just copying and pasting this content in and calling it good. It's just lots of back and forth. The way we approach AI is that it is our thought partner and we are the thought leaders when we do these kinds of things. So when it comes to this, the way I did it is I thought about it in sections. So my 4,500 words of content, it had lots of different sections. So for instance, we had an FAQ section and a process section in there and testimonial sections and all these kinds of things were in there. And so I had AI work on with me the FAQ section, and we do it one question at a time. So, you know, we ask it started by doing questions like, hey, help me think of what are the most important questions that my audience might be asking. So if you're a leader of a church, you might do that in kind of your FAQ section for plan your visit page, right? You might have something like asking AI, hey, help me, you're a world-class church strategist. Help me think of 15 questions that a first-time visitor might be thinking about before they walk in the doors of our church for the first time, and then get all those questions. And then one by one, I would have it help you answer each one of the questions. So all 15, do them individually. I wouldn't just say, now answer all the questions for me and get all those answers, because you get diminishing returns, I find, at least as of right now with AI. Like the quality tends to go down. And then if you do that, you probably won't get the depth on each individual question that you would want to do. So that's a caution I have. It's like just making sure you're giving it bite-sized chunks. Usually you'll get better results that way.
Yeah. I like to use that example. We see, obviously, because we build websites for churches and we do help a lot with content, but churches do often struggle to come up with their own content for their websites or just what they're doing online in general. So good example there. But this next one I thought was interesting is you're not letting AI question you.
This one I totally love this one, right? So yeah, you'll recall, Ian, that we did a challenge with this in ReachRight, where we had every employee at ReachRight, we had a prompt. And the prompt said, hey, I don't remember exactly what it said. I had AI help me write this prompt for everybody in our company here, but it was, trying to uncover maybe one way that AI can shave off a chunk of time and make us more effective and more efficient in every person's individual job here at ReachRight. So every single person executed it, but it ended by asking, the last part of the prompt was, ask me questions one at a time to help you understand my role better and maybe some ideas on how I can use AI to shave time off of my work week and become more efficient.
Wow.
So it did is it asked one question to kind of understand this person's role. So you, Ian, in kind of sales and kind of being our lead consultant, when you did it, I know it asked you questions one at a time.
Yeah.
You would answer them and it would kind of go on to the next question. And when it felt like it had enough information, then it finally gave you the response.
Yeah.
But having it ask you questions, it actually makes it like, it makes it more personalized. It makes it, gives you tailored results.
Makes
and it
more
knows better than
and,
you know what to ask. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
And it makes it more authentic and less generic,
Yeah, totally. So this one I love. I try to use it. I probably use it a couple of times a day. Anytime I'm doing any kind of deep thought work with AI, I do use it all the time. Like when I'm writing sermons, I'm a pastor of a church. And so when I'm writing a sermon, I'm thinking about a verse. I will sometimes, to kind of pull more out of it, I'll kind of have it ask me questions one at a time to help me better observe a passage of scripture, for instance. And using that kind of a prompt to help it pull out of you your thoughts, I think it's one step in that making it your thought partner and you the thought leader. So that kind of MO that we're talking about, really important to do a prompt like that.
That's good. And I think it's a good segue to the next one, which is you're not asking for multiple options. So like if it were an email, like for email marketing or just email outreach, we should say for church terms, you know, asking for five different subject lines or something like that, or five different You know, it's funny. It's making me think actually right now of a personal situation. We're looking to sell possibly, probably my old Jeep that my daughter drives. It's just, it's getting to that point. But to come up with like economical, safe options and five different recommendations for my 17-year-old daughter, right? So multiple options makes me think of a car comparison. So yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. That's a good way to use it. I think subject lines like you were talking about before, that's another
that for good email,
use case. I think anytime you're doing creative work, I always have it give me lots of options just because I want to, I'm usually not going to use anything that it gives me exactly. And then I'm usually going to be pretty close on one of them though. So I do that exact prompt every time we do subject lines. I usually ask for three and then I will usually edit it. I'll edit the one that I like the most, and it's usually somewhat close, but the phrasing may change just to be more in my voice. Yeah. And then I will then ask AI again, like, I think I'm going to use this version of that first one that you sent me. What do you think? Or do you think there's something better than it? And then have it go back and forth a couple of times that way. So yeah, that's kind of my workflow on those things, but on just about anything creative, I'll have it give me a few options.
That's good. That's good. So last but not least is, and you can explain what this means, you're not giving AI data.
Yeah. All right. So this is something that's so important. I kind of alluded to it in some of my earlier ones when I was talking about YouTube strategy. I at least once a day, I'm trying to feed something that it take a long time for me to process. I'm feeding that into AI to kind of help me get real information and real insights on things. So my use case before was trying to come up with new title ideas for YouTube videos. Well, you could have it just do its own thinking on stuff. Like, what are some good title ideas? You're the best YouTube strategist in the world. What are some things that would be really good for my audience? In our case, it's pastors and church leaders and nonprofit leaders. What would be good topics for us? And it would come up some ideas. You could even give it a persona, you know, pretend you're Mr. Beast or something like that. And it'll give you like really clickbaity titles that people might click. But even better than that is if you download all of your analytics, and you maybe even take a look at some other channels out there that are in that same niche that you're in and pull their data from there and feed that all into AI and say, help me come up with some ideas on new title ideas based on real evidence of what's worked in the past and what works for my competitors, then it'll actually be able to do that. Now, if I were to take a look at the document that I download from Google or from YouTube Analytics, there's no way I could process all of that, right? It's something that we've done 400 and some odd videos over the years here at ReachRight.
Yeah.
And every one of them has different amounts of watch time over different amounts of time.
Yeah.
And the detail is like, it'll show you a video that we did 4 years ago, how many views it got every single day in a spreadsheet. And AI can process that in an instant. I can look at all of that information and give you actionable ideas on things. So I do this all the time. I do this with financial documents. It's important to anonymize stuff. So don't put like people's names into AI. You want to make sure to, for me, giving records for our church, I might put raw data in there, but I'll be sure to delete everybody's names.
Sure.
So I don't give that information to AI. Yeah. That's just not a good idea, I think. And it's one of our best practices. I'll mention, we did a video that about seven rules you need to really keep in mind. And that's one of them is treating people like as sacred. If you wouldn't give this information to a vendor, don't give it to AI. So there's a video we made about that. You can link to that there. So, but I think this is something that is really, really a valuable use case that a lot of people miss, but letting it process huge amounts of data in an instant, it makes you so much more effective and so much better at making good decisions when it's really data-backed information that you have.
That's good stuff, Thomas.
Yeah. Awesome. I hope it's been helpful to you guys. These are some of the things that I've gleaned. If you have any other prompt advice that is working to get you better results, we'd love to hear that also. So drop us a comment down below. Thanks guys for being a part of the ReachRight family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.